The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. We want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
All right. Good morning, my friends. How's everybody doing? Good, good. Good worship. And that those lyrics, you know, I bow and find my rest. That's what we get through confession, right? We get a break from the shame, the guilt, the sin, all those things that burden us throughout the week. That's what our series is really all about. It's about getting away, not just getting away on vacation. I mean, not just, you know, getting to wear the lays and getting to, you know, enjoy time away from work, but actually getting away from the things that really wear us down, the things that exhaust us, getting away from those things. That's what our series is all about. So we're in our fifth week of our 8 weeks of rest in Christ. And Jerry was actually supposed to speak today. So if you're looking in your bulletin and you're, you know, the space where you're going to take notes and you see Jerry's name there. So if you're on our group chat, you know that Jerry was having a lot of pain. And so he was considering going to the ER and obviously not able to come. But I did talk to him last night. He's feeling a lot better. He never actually did end up going anywhere. But he is feeling better. So thanks for praying for him. So I'm pinch hitting for Jerry today, but it actually worked out. Not Jerry getting sick. That didn't. Sorry, Jerry. Didn't mean to say that. He's probably watching. Actually, I know he is. I saw him on the chat. It worked out as far as this series because we talked about guilt and then we talked about shame, and today obviously we're going to be talking about bitterness, vacation from bitterness. And so it kind of fits in line with some of the things we're talking about. And these are things that we really deal with pretty deeply internally. These are issues that we struggle with. And so my hope is that you find some freedom from these things. I hope that last week and the week before were really meaningful to you and that God really has been speaking to you through this series and allowing you or giving you permission, I guess, if you accept his invitation to take a break from those types of things. And so today's message is travel light. And, you know, Peter said that when he travels somewhere, he packs everything, right? I hate checking bags when I go on a plane. This is kind of a travel trend right now, right? Last several years, everybody's trying to avoid checking luggage. And so you see people bringing a lot more stuff on the plane. They'll do almost anything to avoid having to, you know, check. And so they want to carry everything on. So they're rolling their clothes tighter. They're wearing their heaviest shoes on the plane. They're stuffing their jackets and their backpacks. They're getting those travel size toothpaste. They're just trying to travel as light as they can so that they can take everything with them. I totally get that because, you know, one of the worst things is having to go down to baggage claim and wait for your bag and then fight over your bag if it happens to look like somebody else's. I'm sure that's happened to you before too. But why do people want to travel light? Why is it that traveling light is such a big deal? Well, let's be honest. Travel is easier when you travel light. When you don't pack as much stuff, when you don't have as much stuff with you, it really is easier to move around. It's easier to get to the places where you want to get to, and you don't have to feel like you're missing anything. Matter of fact, if you travel light for the first time, you're going to feel like you're missing a lot of stuff, but it really is. We're planning a trip here in next summer, and we're thinking through like all the stuff that we need to. We planned way ahead on this one. We're thinking of all the stuff that how we're going to get there and what we're going to take with us. And so one of the ideas is that we're actually going to go to a thrift store and maybe pick up a few of the things that. But instead of taking those things with us on the plane, anyway, travel light. That's the whole idea here. For me, when I get my backpack with my computer in it, and I've got all my, you know, my work stuff with me, and then I've got another small piece with luggage, and then I've got the return trip is always worse because then I have an extra bag from the airport, this, all the goodies, all the fun stuff that I bought for the family, and so I've got all this stuff. I'm trying to get it on the plane, and then, you know, you get to this place where it tells you, you know, if your bag doesn't fit here, then you can't take it on the plane, you know, and so you're like, oh, please, and every year, like, that thing gets smaller and smaller, and so you go to put your bag in there, you're like, you know, using your foot to kick it down, just so that you can get that stuff on there. So many of us will do the same thing spiritually. We drag around old wounds, broken relationships, harsh words that were spoken to us years ago, betrayal, disappointment, resentment. Before long, we're exhausted, not because life is more difficult, but because we're carrying all these things that Jesus never intended for us to carry. And that's why Jesus says, which is our theme verse, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. And then he goes on and says, I will give you rest. So here's the thing that we need to understand. He isn't just inviting us to a better destination. He's inviting us to a lighter journey. We know what our destination is ultimately. If we're a follower of Jesus, we know where we're going. So it's not like Jesus is saying, okay, through this offer, I'm going to invite them into an actually a better place to go. No, there's no better place than being in the presence of God, and that's eventually where we all will end up if we're truly followers of Jesus. But the journey along the way doesn't have to be as difficult and as cumbersome as we make it, because Jesus has actually done things to free us from those things that weigh us down. And so today is a great follow-up to what we talked about last week. Shame, right? Bitterness is another symptom of sin. It's something that we carry with us, but instead of it being directed at ourselves, bitterness is directed at someone or something else. So last week we talked about shame and how shame is how we view ourselves, and that's what shame is centered on. But bitterness is directed at other people or other things that might have happened to us along the way. And Jesus lovingly says to us, that doesn't have to come with you on the journey. But please know this, that forgiveness doesn't erase the past, but it frees us to move forward by placing justice in God's hands. Why? Because bitterness weighs down the soul. Jesus knows this, and that's why he offers us freedom from bitterness. That's why when you go throughout the Bible, you're going to discover places where God is telling us to leave that in God's hands and to not harbor bitterness in our hearts. See, one of Satan's greatest lies is this. If you forgive them, they get away with it. You ever thought that yourself? You know, if I forgive that person for what they've done to me, then it's basically like they've gotten away with it. They're getting off the hook, basically, by my forgiveness. And that's not true. Forgiveness isn't pretending like nothing happened and like everything's okay. Forgiveness means we trust God to be a better judge than we could ever be. We're putting it in God's hands. This is why it is so freeing for us to rid ourselves of bitterness, because we're putting this in God's hands and we're saying, God, you handle this. You're a much better judge than I am. Even though many times we feel like we're pretty good at judging, we just become bitter. And bitterness just keeps growing if we don't deal with it. That's the first thing I want to talk to you about today, is that bitterness just keeps growing if we don't deal with it. Let me read Hebrews 12, 14 through 15, and then we'll pray. It says, work at living at peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Father, as we broach this topic today, Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, because many of us, including myself, have been guilty of harboring bitterness, things that have happened to us that we just can't seem to let go of, and we've convinced ourselves somehow that we've forgiven, and yet we still hold on to those things, and we still visit those things in our mind and in our hearts. And so, Father, help us as we look at your word and as we look at what you're saying to us today, Father, I pray that we would get a very different message, that we need to be free from those things. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I want you to know something about this passage, that God calls bitterness a root. God calls bitterness a root. Why? Because roots are hidden. They grow quietly. You don't see the growth of roots on the surface, but eventually you start to see the effects of roots. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But roots can cause a lot of damage to the other things that are trying to grow. Bitterness doesn't start out as bitterness. It starts out as disappointment, betrayal, injustice, wounded pride, unmet expectations, unresolved anger. It's basically all these, whether they're sins that we've committed or whether they're sins that other people have committed towards us. That's how bitterness starts, but then it settles into a much deeper place and it begins to take root. And if it's not treated, those hurts go down really deep. And unresolved hurt eventually becomes rooted bitterness. If we don't deal with those things, it just settles into our soul and becomes bitterness. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, do not let the sun go down on your anger. I know you've heard that before, but the whole idea is that we deal with the things that are really bothering us before we even go to sleep at night. We want to confront those things before we even take physical rest. Because what happens if we don't? Unaddressed anger becomes fertile soil for bitterness. In order for bitterness to survive, there has to be a certain type of soil in our hearts. And if we're constantly feeding our hearts with all of these different issues that we're not dealing with, then it's the perfect place, the perfect atmosphere, the perfect space for bitterness to grow. We're told in James chapter 3, if you are bitterly jealous and there's selfish ambition in your heart, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. What's he saying here? He's like, if you're dealing with bitter jealousy or covetousness of someone else, you're just welcoming all kinds of chaos into your life. You're welcoming all kinds of disorder into your life. Check out what David says about bitterness. This is really interesting. In Psalm 73, 21, he says, when my soul was embittered. Notice that David doesn't say, my circumstances made me bitter. You know, he doesn't just say, when the people around me made me bitter. What is he saying? He's like, when my soul was embittered. So he recognized that it's not an external thing. Maybe it starts on the surface. It's triggered by something on the surface. But he recognized this is an internal battle. And what happens? Bitterness changes us. It changes, and I'm sure you've seen it's easier to see in the lives of other people than it is to see in your own life, but I'm sure you've seen the cause and effect of bitterness in the lives of other people. I'm sure you've seen people that have unresolved hurt in their lives and they become bitter, and what type of person that makes them become, because bitterness truly does change us. I don't know if you've ever seen a tree root that's growing under a sidewalk. You've seen that before, right? Trees don't destroy sidewalks overnight. These roots don't destroy the sidewalk overnight. But and for years, nothing will appear to be wrong. It's like the sidewalk is nice and smooth. There's a beautiful tree next to it. But the next thing you know, you're tripping on it every day, right? All of a sudden, there's this crack where the root is beginning to disrupt the surface, and now all of a sudden everyone notices a sidewalk, and they might even say things like, oh man, someone did a terrible job of putting that sidewalk in, and no one's thinking about the root. No one's thinking about what's actually been happening. This root just kept growing because it was being nourished by the soil, and so eventually it comes to the surface and creates more problems. John Piper once observed, bitterness is what anger becomes when it is nursed instead of confessed. When we provide nourishment for that anger or for that hurt in our lives, we just grow more roots. the roots get bigger and the roots get stronger until they begin to crack the surface. Not only does bitterness continue to grow unseen, but bitterness keeps us chained to the past. Bitterness keeps us attached to that hurt or that pain in our past. Remember the conversation that Jesus had with Peter, where Peter asks, how many times should I forgive? And I know Peter was just looking for a simple solution to an issue, right? He's like, okay, I need to forgive people, but how many times is the proper amount of times to go to someone and forgive them, right? What was Jesus' answer? We'll look at Matthew 18, 21 through 22. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? And I feel like Peter was genuinely being generous. He's just like, that sounds about right to me. You know, someone's offended me. It's a repeat offender in my life. 7 times sounds like a pretty good number. Like, that's pretty noble to. And think about that in your own life. If you have someone in your life who's been offending you, by the 7th time, you're feeling like, oh man, I think I've forgiven them enough times. I think it's time to do something else, right? Jesus says, no, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Now, Jesus wasn't just picking a random number, or he wasn't just saying, okay, this is the exact formula. Basically, what he's implying here is you're going to lose count, because you're not going to be able to count 70 times 7 unless you have a notebook that you carry around with you. And maybe you have that. If you do, I encourage you to get rid of it. It's probably a root of bitterness if you're keeping track of how many times you forgive somebody. But the whole idea here is that you lose count, because that's not the point. The number of times that you offer somebody forgiveness is really not the point there. Jesus was saying that a lack of forgiveness means an abundance of bitterness. When you're not forgiving, you're dealing with bitterness. And so by telling Peter, you just keep forgiving, because that's the only way that we can avoid forgiveness. The more you learn to forgive, the less you have to struggle with bitterness. Where there is forgiveness, bitterness cannot survive. As long as there's forgiveness, bitterness cannot take root. Bitterness will just keep replaying yesterday. And God wants you to, he's inviting us into tomorrow. Colossians 3:13 tells us, forgive as the Lord forgave you. As the Lord forgave you. This is the ultimate standard for us, right? This is the standard for true forgiveness, is to forgive in a way that imitates the way God has forgiven us. You cannot be truly free from bitterness if your forgiveness is not on par with the kind of forgiveness that God has offered you. Corrie Ten Boom wrote, forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. Because it's a prison, right? You're trapped, you're confined by your own bitterness. And this is how you gain freedom from bitterness, is through forgiveness. It's really the only way. Bitterness is literally the poison of the soul. You're poisoning your own soul when you don't deal with your bitterness. I'm sure you've heard the expression, I think we've said it here several times before, but bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. You've heard that expression before, right? I'm going to put it a little differently. I'm going to say bitterness is like continuing to drink poison when the antidote is within reach. Because Jesus has offered us a way, an escape from bitterness, and yet we keep reaching for the other bottle. We keep reaching for the poison instead of the antidote, which is forgiveness. Jesus is offering us this antidote, not just for us, but for us to give to others. Because our third point, forgiveness reflects the heart of Jesus. Forgiveness is who Jesus is. And if we are a forgiving people, then we are imitating Christ. Ephesians 4:31 through 32 says, Get rid of all bitterness. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Again, this truth is coming through, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. And so we're getting rid of the bitterness and we're replacing it with tender-heartedness. This is something that only God's Spirit can do. And I hope you guys recognize that with every topic we've talked about in this series so far, it's going to take the Holy Spirit's involvement in your life, because no one can tenderize your heart the way the Holy Spirit can. We can't do that. Only the Holy Spirit can. But here's the thing. Again, going back to the idea that we forgive the way God has forgiven us. We didn't deserve Jesus' forgiveness, but he still forgave us. And we don't forgive people because they deserve it. We forgive because we've been forgiven. I hope this one really sinks in for you guys, because you are going to be tempted when you're hurt to forgive someone only when you feel like they've earned it. That they're ready. Oh, now they're ready for my forgiveness. Now I'm starting to see a change of heart. Now I can forgive them. But Jesus, thank God, didn't wait for us to have a change of heart. He forgave us in the moment. And matter of fact, Luke 23:34 illustrates this perfectly when he's on the cross and he says, "Father, forgive them." It's not like everybody in front of him that was having him crucified all of a sudden said, "You know what, Jesus? My bad. I'm really sorry about this. Can we, guys, time out? Can we take him off the cross? And I don't think we should be doing this." No one was saying that. They were still, for the majority of the crowd when Jesus was being crucified, they were still wanting it to happen. And they were still filled with hatred towards him. And yet Jesus says, "Father, forgive them." That was the prayer he uttered when the nails were in his hands. Think about that. Which is why Romans 5:8 tells us, "Christ died for us while we were still sinners." Jesus is never going to tell you, "Hey, clean up your life, get everything right, then come to me and we'll talk about this forgiveness thing." He's never going to say that to you. What he's going to say is, "I'm offering you forgiveness right now, right where you're at your lowest point, at your dirtiest point, at your most vile, I'm offering you forgiveness." Once you receive that gift of forgiveness, the Holy Spirit starts to change your heart. Now you're a different person, but only after receiving God's forgiveness. So why are we making other people wait? Why are we not forgiving others because we want them to deserve it or to have earned it in some way? You know what happens when we do that? We become bitter. This is about our relationship with God. It's not about that person's relationship with God. Maybe if you forgive somebody, they might have a heart change. But maybe you forgive somebody and they really never know that you've forgiven them. But in your own heart, you've forgiven them because it's the thing that Jesus did for you. You see what I'm saying? This is about guarding your own heart against bitterness. It's not about the other person's heart and what's going on with them and God. Let the Holy Spirit deal with them. Let God work in that person's life. You let God work in your own heart. This is why the story of Joseph is so powerful. You know the story where Joseph is sold into slavery by his brothers? Matter of fact, his brothers all wanted to kill him except for one, and one was like, "I don't think it's a good idea. Let's not murder him. Let's just throw him in a hole, and then when someone comes along, the slave traders come along, we'll just sell him off. We'll be rid of him. He'll still be alive. We won't feel quite as bad." And that's what they did, right? And then you know what happens. Joseph spends the next few years of his life with all of these reasons to be bitter, all of these reasons to be angry, right? Hatred, betrayal, false accusations, abandonment. All these things are happening to Joseph. And I'm sure with each situation, Joseph had every right within his own mind to say, "I don't deserve this," and just build that bitterness, just grow that root of bitterness. Yet, when he finally had the power to retaliate, when his brothers are in front of him and he's in a place of power that God has exalted him to, right? And his brothers come to him because they're in need of food because of the famine, right? What happens? He chooses mercy. He understood that God had been writing a bigger story all along, a story of forgiveness. Imagine yourself in the same situation. Could you do it? I mean, compare what happened to Joseph and the way people treated him to the hurt or pain that someone's caused you. I'm pretty sure that person's done a lot less to you than threw you in a hole and sold you into slavery. The pain they've caused you has probably been a little bit less extreme than that. And so Joseph has had all of these things happen to him, and yet he chooses to forgive. He chooses mercy over judgment, which no one would argue with Joseph. If this story would have ended the other way, if Joseph would have been like, you know what, off with their heads, we would have been like, that's a happy ending still, you know? We wouldn't have had a problem with that. Maybe we wouldn't preach sermons on the story, but to be honest, we'd be like, yeah, they had it coming. But that's not how the story ended. He offered forgiveness. It's like C.S. Lewis said, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. Like, we're all like, oh yeah, forgiveness, that's the way to go. And then someone hurts us and we're like, eh, maybe not in my situation. You know, my situation is a little different. I've been hurt a little deeper than most people. And so forgiveness isn't really an option here. Understand this, you guys. Forgiveness isn't saying it didn't matter. What happened to you didn't matter. That's not what forgiveness is saying. It mattered deeply. Forgiveness isn't saying there shouldn't be any justice that takes place here. There should. There definitely should. Forgiveness is saying, I trust God more than my own sense of justice. I'm leaving it in God's hands. I trust that God is a better judge than I am. In the Message, Romans 12:19 says, don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. If we could audibly hear God's voice telling us that when someone hurts us or when something happens to us, if we can hear God saying, you know what, let me handle this. You ever had someone actually intervene for you in that way or advocate for you that way? You're so upset about something, they're like, you know what, I'll handle this. Maybe it was a sibling or a parent that's like, you know what, let me deal with them. Let me handle this. That feeling of relief where you're like, okay, all right, yeah, you go get them. You do it, right? This is what God is telling us. He's saying, I'll handle it. Just sit back down, calm down. I'll take care of this. I'll handle this. That's what Jesus is offering us. Bitterness comes from us feeling like we need to be the one to set things right. But Jesus has already done that. We just have to imitate Jesus. But sadly, so many times we choose the more difficult route. Jesus is inviting us to take a break from that way of living and discover true freedom. And that's what this series is all about. It's about accepting his invitation. When Jesus says, come, I've got something to offer you that's way better than what you're doing. That's the invitation to be free. Picture yourself trying to board a plane and the gate agent looks at your luggage and says, that bag's too big to carry on, right? You've got two choices, which, by the way, I've never went with. I've always gone with one of these choices, but you've got two choices, right? You can keep arguing, which will inevitably get you thrown out of the airport, or you can surrender the bag. You can push back a little bit, maybe. I've done that before where I'm like, oh, are you sure? I sure can't take it, right? But eventually, you're going to have to surrender the bag. My friends, some of us have spent years just arguing with God and choosing to drag around bitterness. We're just like, I know it'll fit. Just let me take it on the journey. I know I can make it work. And God's like, you got to surrender that thing. That cannot go with you on the journey. It's just way too heavy. It's way too big. It's way too cumbersome. Jesus is saying to us, you don't have to carry that anymore. You don't have to carry that around. I love this quote by Elizabeth Elliot. She said, "Forgiveness is setting the prisoner free and discovering the prisoner was you." Man, that's powerful. Setting the prisoner free and discovering that you're actually the one that was imprisoned. It's time for us to be free from bitterness. And when we discover that we are the only one that's holding ourselves captive, Jesus can do that for us. But we have to recognize it's me. I'm the one who's put myself in this prison. Once we recognize that, once we realize that, then we can accept his forgiveness. Everyone wants to travel light. No one is volunteering to carry extra stuff. Yet spiritually, we've been hauling around bitterness for years. And today, Jesus is standing at the gate, the airport gate, right? And he's saying to you, "You don't need to bring that on. Just check that baggage with me. And come on, travel light. Leave the hurt. Leave the resentment. Leave the desire for revenge. Leave the bitterness. Way too big of a bag to carry with you on this journey. Travel light." That's an invitation from Jesus to us. And I hope and I pray that you accept his invitation. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you. Thank you that you are a God that not only forgives us, but you teach us how to forgive others, because you know that the anger, the hurt, the pain, those things in our hearts are just fertile soil for bitterness to grow. God, you know this. Help us to know this. Help us to understand this so that we can be free from bitterness. Help us to accept your, not only your gift of forgiveness, but also your gift of teaching us how to forgive others. We want to be imitators of you because that's the only way that we can be free from bitterness. Maybe you're here today and this is you. You struggle with this. This is you. You're holding on to things and it's just eating away at you. And God is saying, Jesus is saying to you, "Come, follow me. Let me take your burden. It's time to travel light." I'm not saying in a moment like this you can just say, "Okay, yes, Jesus, I'll travel light. I'll give these things to you." But this is something you have to do on a regular basis in your life. Sure, you could do it right now in this quiet moment together, but this is something you have to do every day because it's really not a one-time thing. There's far too much hurt and pain and anger that we're dealing with on a regular basis for us to just do it one time. And we can't allow that soil to be a fertile place for the root of bitterness to grow. And so maybe today your prayer is more of a prayer of surrender to God, to be willing to let these things go, to be willing to be an imitator of Jesus and offer forgiveness. So Father, I pray for everyone in this room that feels that way, that's struggling in that way. Help us, Father, to accept your invitation. Help us to see you standing at the gate and saying, "You don't have to carry that on. That's way too big. It's way too much." Help us to see what is causing bitterness in our hearts so that we can surrender to you. Thank you, God. We love you and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, it's an invitation. I invite you. Jesus is inviting you to accept this invitation. And so I hope you do. I hope you do. And again, it's something you got to do on a regular basis because bitterness is going to be constantly wanting to take root in your life until we learn to forgive the way Jesus forgives. Does that sound good? All right. Love you guys.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You've thought of us before.